Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we continue our study of the book of Daniel as it fits into the plan of God through the ages. Last time, we studied Daniel chapter 2 and how young Daniel, gifted by God, gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the king's dream, which is the pre-written history of the Gentile world powers. We concluded last time with the head of gold. That's Daniel chapter 2 and verse 38. Today we begin in Daniel chapter 2 verse 39 with the other Gentile world powers as foretold in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Let's start our study today in Daniel chapter 2 verse 39.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Look at the next verse, 39. And after thee shall arise another king inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which, see, it tells us now we're moving. The silver is the second king, arms and chest of silver. And then it says brass, belly and thighs of brass. So he mentions that to us here so we can know the progression that's going ahead. And it'll be inferior to another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the entire earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong and of iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And that's the mighty, awesome kingdom, Gentile world power, that came to power and killed everything else. You can read this, the 10 toes of iron and clay, and the reason he's talking about that, there's going to be 10 kingdoms, nations, peoples, whatever, who are going to be there. They're going to be put together, but they're not going to really be a solid unit because of the iron and clay. Iron and clay will not adhere to each other. They can't hold them together. So it's somewhat of a nebulous unity that's going to be there. The stone comes along and it breaks all of this into pieces, and then look here in verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof. It's talking about Jesus Christ, of course, the stone, and that mountain, the kingdom, which is what Jesus Christ is going to establish when he comes into power. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to really understand Bible prophecy. All you have to do is be a reader of the Word of God. We see that the head of gold is the Babylonian Empire. Go to chapter 8 just a moment. Daniel, some years later, about 50, 55 years later, has a dream. That's chapter 7. We'll look at it. But chapter 8, he has another vision that I think is important because it's going to list the second and the third kingdom by name, who it is. And again, I'm not going to read all the passages. I'm just simply giving you the high points. I want you to get into the book and study. But in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 8, he talks about a ram that has two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And I'm going to tell you the reason for that in just a moment. And then in verse 5, and as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. These are all key components of understanding who it is. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. So the ram had two horns, one higher than the other. The goat had one horn right between his eyes. They come together. They have a battle. Look what happens, verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it became up of four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. But look here to get the answer to who we're talking about in verse 20. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Mede and Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire. So one horn's a little bit bigger, the Persians, or the greater, of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now look at verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is of the first king. But remember, when he had his battle with the ram, his horn, that one single horn, became four horns. Remember, when the Grecian Empire came to power, Alexander the Great defeated the Medo-Persian Empire. At 32 years of age, he was ruling the world from Babylon on the shores of the Euphrates River, and he died at 32 years old, having only taken 11 years to conquer the world with a ragtag Grecian military force. That's why his feet didn't touch the ground. That's why in chapter 7, he has four wings. Though the leopard, he's referred to as a leopard there in chapter 7, is a fast animal. It's not the fastest. The cheetah is the fastest animal on the earth. But you put four wings on a leopard, he's going to be fast. And that kingdom, the Grecian Empire, came to power quicker than any other empire. And so he names three of the four. Now, logic would say, if you have the Babylonian Empire defeated by the Medo-Persian Empire, defeated by the Grecian Empire, those are the first three, who defeated the Grecian Empire? The Roman Empire, which was an awesome empire, which controlled all of the world and broke in pieces every empire before it. This is the time of the beginning of the Gentile world powers. There is a phrase, Jesus used it in the Olivet Discourse. Olivet Discourse, that message he preached on Monday afternoon there on the Mount of Olives during Passion Week, is recorded in three locations, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. At the end of the Olivet Discourse, in the record of it in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, here's what he says, "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." The times of the Gentiles are a specific period in history. And let me give you the definition first, and I'll tell you when it started. The definition of the phrase times of the Gentiles, and there's a number of prophetic phrases you need to have a handle on. The definition for the times of the Gentiles, any time in history when Gentile rulers control the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem. When the Gentiles control the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem, that's the time of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles began when Daniel was taken out of Jerusalem with his three Hebrew buddies into Babylon. That was 605 B.C. 597 B.C., Ezekiel and 10,000 other Jews were taken out. And 586 B.C., all the Jews that are still alive were taken into the Babylonian Empire. Gentile world leaders controlled Jerusalem and the Jews. That has been the case even in the time of Jesus Christ. Who controlled Jerusalem? The Roman Empire. Who controlled the Jews? The Roman Empire. Gentile world power. What about today? Today, well, they have a nation. Hello? Have you not heard what President Obama, Catherine Ashton of the European Union, Ban Ki-moon of the United Nations, and Vladimir Putin of Russia have had to say? They're all Gentile world leaders. They tell Israel, you can't build in Jerusalem. You Jews do not have a right to your eternal, undivided capital, which was established by King David 3,000 years ago. You don't have a right to that piece of real estate. What are you going to do, put up another apartment over there? Who's controlling Jerusalem and the Jews? Gentile world powers. That moves in, transcends into the seven-year tribulation period. And so we have the times of the Gentiles. It starts over there with Daniel going into the Babylonian captivity in history past, and it comes all the way up to the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Who is the major player that controls these times of the Gentiles? And one of the purposes for the tribulation, we'll look at in a moment, is to bring an end to these Gentile world powers. That's the stone hitting the image. Okay, go to chapter 7 now. It's the next key passage, prophetic passage, in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, as I said a moment ago, about 50 years later, he's probably 18 when he gives that interpretation over there in Daniel chapter 2. Now it's 52 years later. He's somewhere about 70 years of age, and he's a leader still in the first year of Belshazzar. He's still a major leader, probably number two in the kingdom of the Babylonians at this time. Well, Daniel is going to have a dream, a vision, receive a prophecy. Look at it with me very quickly. starting in verse 2. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and the great beast came up from the sea, diverse one from another. When you think about the great sea, and if you look at any ancient Jewish map, the Mediterranean Sea is called the Great Sea. When you look at these Gentile world powers, they were basically in the Mediterranean region, especially the Roman Empire controlled the Mediterranean region. So that starts to help us get a little idea of what he's talking about. Verse 4, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Well, if you know anything about history at all, you know that's the emblem for Babylon. Right now at the Ishtar Gate in Babylon, on the shores of the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq, there are two gold-winged lions at the Ishtar Gate. The winged lion is the emblem of Babylon. And that's what he talks about here. Verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it. Well, the three ribs, again, we're trying to look at the scriptures, understand what the scriptures tell us, understand what is going on at the time. We bring in a literal interpretation. And this is the approach we're having to history. Now, let me just remind you what had happened. And I went through this. Remember I told you what happened in 1 Kings chapter 11? After 40 years of reigning as king of Israel, Solomon dies. His son Rehoboam was to have taken over as king of all of Israel. Jeroboam, his adversary who lived in Bethel, didn't like what was going on. He was an antagonist to Solomon, so he took 10 of the tribes and went north. You do remember what they did, don't you? They put up idols to worship in Dan and Bethel. Rehoboam stays in the south. He has the tribe of Judah, which he is a part of, and then he has the tribe of Benjamin, which is right there as well. So he has two tribes in the south. They call them Judah, and they call the 10 tribes in the north Israel. 722 BC, 2 Kings chapter 17, the Assyrian Empire comes in and destroys and takes out the 10 tribes in the north. Now think with me just a moment. Where did the Jews go at the end of Genesis chapter 46? Jacob took 70 members of his family and went into Egypt 400 years. That was prophesied when he got the Abrahamic covenant. That's one Gentile world power. The Assyrians defeated the Egyptians and they came to power. That's the second Gentile world power. The Babylonians defeat the Assyrians, and they come to power. That's the third. Three ribs in the mouth of the bear. Bear's not Russia. The bear is the Medo-Persian Empire who defeats the Assyrian Empire. They defeat the Babylonian Empire who had defeated the Assyrian Empire who defeated the Egyptian Empire. So the three ribs, the previous Gentile world powers, that's this Medo-Persian Empire.
Daniel 2 gives us the prophecy of the times of the Gentiles. That's any time in history when the Gentile world powers control the Jews and the city of Jerusalem. Daniel had a similar dream in Daniel chapter 7. Which brings us to the main personality of the tribulation period, the Antichrist. In our study next week, we'll see how the Antichrist comes from the greatest Gentile world power, the Roman Empire. This study will help us to see how God's plan through the ages is actually playing out today. More on that next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...